This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Monday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 20th, episode 661, and it's brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It is Monday morning, and before we get started here today with everything, I just want to wish our best. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Midwest, and they had some terrible tornadoes over the weekend and yesterday and are expecting more today. Our thoughts are with you, and we're saying some prayers for you. So I just wanted to acknowledge all of you out there in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law, Glenn, yeah. My sister-in-law had called us yesterday.
There.
My whole entire in-law family lives in Oklahoma, and they were crushed with tornadoes. But my sister-in-law called me, and she's like, 17 people went into their neighbor's shelter, which is 6x8.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
She's like, oh, it was fine. It's comfortable. And I was trying to liken that, as we do, to a 12x12 stall. With 17 people in it, but smaller. And I was like, that sounds awful. Somebody else needs to get a shelter in your neighborhood because that's an awful lot of people. 17 in a 6x8. And there was a bunch of kids. Holy cow.
Well, I also wanted to tell everybody, I know a lot of you have heard that somebody in Florida, not too far from here, bought the winning Powerball ticket for almost $600 million. I just wanted to acknowledge it was not us.
No.
We didn't win. No, I'm sorry, we didn't win. If I did, I would buy you a heck of a baby gift.
Wow, it's awful sweet.
Sorry. Didn't
I would
win,
expect
no baby
a cash
gift.
Cash bonus.
Yeah,
well, you know what?
Exactly.
I bought tickets. I totally forgot about it. Probably should just go look, see if I won one of the smaller prizes.
You could have won $2-3. Yeah, checked. We had one number. Isn't that depressing? I bought three tickets, $6, and you get one number out of all of them.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. But I figured, and everybody laughed at me. Chad was like, you bought a ticket. I'm like, you're going to be laughing your way to the bank. Somebody's going to win. Somebody out there has to win. And it might as well be us. How about that for a lottery slogan? Boom!
Well, and it was somebody down here that bought it at a Publix grocery store. Not Zepha, so the name of the town starts with a Z. I can never say it. But it actually isn't too far from here. Jennifer, you went to a show there, right? In that town.
It's called Zephyr Hills.
Yes. That's right. And it was at the Publix grocery store. Somebody was just buying groceries, said, I'll buy a lottery ticket. And now they can buy all the groceries they want. What's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, weekend adventures and weekend results open the show. And followed by that, we will be having a chat about a great place to visit for the weekend, and that would be the Wheeler Museum located at the Kentucky Horse Park. And last but not least, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, is here with the last track for the horse world this week. Stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Well, Jennifer, and you two need to talk to each other for 2 seconds because I need to put the dog out of my office
right now.
It's not too often that glory causes issues. That's usually Boomer's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and don't worry. Yeah. He's sitting here staring into the door because I don't let him in the door anymore, in the room anymore during the shows. Like, you're
sorry
outside,
about that.
Buddy. No problem.
The dog needed out right now, and there was no waiting. So,
you have
so
a
anyway,
fenced-in yard to let her out?
No, Jennifer's going to be taking care of that right now. This never happens during the show. We're usually pretty good about making sure she goes out several times before the show, but Jennifer's taking care of that right now. But we're going to do our daily Winnies in the meantime. Well, I have a geeky daily Winnie for you, and that is mine goes out to a high school dropout. He's now 26 years old, but he dropped out of high school because he didn't have time and he thought it was boring. And he's kind of a geek and a nerd, and he decided to create a website, and the website kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's called Tumblr. And Yahoo just bought Tumblr for $1.1 billion. So David Karp, who dropped out of high school, is now 26 years old, is expected to take down his portion of that sale at $220 million in an all-cash deal, which means that goes in his bank account. So there
wow.
you go. Another geeky, and you see a picture of this guy, he is geeky and as nerdy as they get. And he keeps posting pictures of him with his girlfriend in bed on Twitter. So there you go.
Well, why wouldn't you? You can post whatever the hell you want when you are when you're $220 million richer.
He kept,
here's my wiener.
Actually, he's had a bunch of offers to sell his site in the past. And he kept holding out and saying, nah, I don't need the money. And apparently he doesn't. He's kind of a Mark Zuckerberg-like. He doesn't have any books in his house, he says. He doesn't have many clothes, and he doesn't have any furniture. So apparently the house is, like, empty in New York, and he just lives very sparingly.
Yeah, well, now he doesn't have to. So we'll see how things change.
Exactly. All right, your turn.
Well, my daily Winnie is going to take us back to Saturday, and it's kind of a two-parter. First parter is I had so much fun sitting in front of the television, NBC Sports, watching the, like, 4 hours of racing before it came on to just regular NBC, and you're going to love this, Glenn. I'm watching the races, and I see, the horses coming to the post, and I'm like, oh, they're like, Mike Smith riding Pianist. Well, Pianist, however you say it, was not a favorite to win this race, the Gallarette Stakes. And Pianist actually careened the field with jockey Mike Smith aboard and won the Gallarette Stakes. And you will love this, Glenn, because the horse was owned by a man named Jack Brothers and Hidden Brook Farms, who has been on our show a ton of times to talk about horse racing. And we've talked to him about the sales and everything. I'm watching, and he's a great friend of mine, and him and his girlfriend, Laura, and I'm like, what? They just won a race? $150,000 race. And it's like,
he won
yeah,
the lottery, too.
Owned by Jack Brothers, and I'm like, get out of here. And then they showed my friends Jack and Laura, who were like jumping up and down, celebrating. And I was like, holy cow. Remember when I got to go to Keeneland and my friend won a race and I got to go down to the winner's circle and meet Chad Brown?
Yeah.
Same guy. Chad Brown trained Jack Brothers' horse, Hidden Brook, but usually it's owned by a conglomerate of people. This horse was owned by Jack and one other guy. So talk about hitting the lottery. Your mare just won the Gallarette Stakes for $150,000 on Preak this day, and there's you and your girlfriend on NBC jumping up and down. Woohoo! I'm like texting them, like, get out of here, you just won. They're like, that's so fun. So it was really cool to see them. kind of in the background when all the interviews were taking place. They interviewed Mike Smith, of course, after his win, but they were interviewing him about the Preakness later on. But I'm like, there's Jack. Chad's like, there's Laura. We're having so
much fun.
Are you
feeling better
watching.
About Mike Smith now? Are you feeling better about him?
Well, you can't come in second every time, Glenn. He's going to have to win some. No, I'm so mad at him. I'm so mad at him, but that does make me feel a little bit better, you know. At least he won for my friends, so that's good. But obviously that leads us into the Preakness. And what a race. I mean, my gosh, who saw that coming? Not one person saw Oxbow. I had Oxbow down for third place because I liked that connection with 77-year-old Dwayne Lucas. You've got the classic Calumet Farms, and then you've got Gary Stevens back in the tack, who was announcing, you know, and commentating last year. Now he's on a horse this year at 50 years old. Just awesome story. And I liked the story. And my gosh, I just can't. I was so disappointed that Orb didn't win. But if given a second choice, Oxbow would have been my emotional pick to win. But man, so bummed that there's not a triple crown this year.
Well, you want to hear? Let's hear the race, and then we can chat more about it. Here we go. Barry Thomas is home.
It's really quiet.
Did you hear the audience when you watched it? Did you hear the audience that, you know, after the finish line, everybody just went, oh. Because you can tell. it's like they let the air out of the stadium.
Well, I mean, Oxbow went off at 15-1, and that is a relatively big long shot when you've only got a field of 9 horses. So I think that a lot of people were – I mean, everybody bet on Orb. He's technically the fastest horse. He just didn't go anywhere today, and he got pocketed, and then he had some problems getting out. And
he just seemed like he didn't like being around the other horses. Like, okay, I don't like being here. I'm just going to back off a little, and then he just never had it. Now Rosie, you know, was last coming out. Rosie Napravnik. She was last on her ride, and boy, that horse just picked up, same as in the Kentucky Derby, picked up, but didn't have enough. She was coming down. My Loot was coming down to the finish, but just didn't have enough in the tank.
Yeah, you almost wonder
if she had a shot.
That, if that horse's perfect distance is the mile, because a mile and a quarter and a mile and a 16th didn't work. Maybe shorten it up just a little bit, or maybe the Belmont will be better with a mile and a half, and then that's the distance that horse needs. You know, it's such a crapshoot to see who's going to be most comfortable at what distance. But I thought it was an exciting race. It was, I mean, definitely the air was let out afterwards, like, oh. But then you kind of got to get excited for Gary Stevens, because he just, it couldn't happen to what seems, I don't know him, but he seems like such a nice guy. I mean, for crying out loud, he was George Wolfe in Seabiscuit, okay? That's how I know him.
Well, but, yeah, and Calumet Farm, too, obviously, it's something that everybody sees when they fly into Lexington. And they celebrated their record 8th Preakness success and their first since Ford Passes victory in 1968. So maybe this is a little bit of a comeback for Calumet.
Now, was D. Wayne Lucas the oldest trainer to win the Preakness? Because that was his 6th Preakness.
I don't know about that, but I know he is now the winningest Triple Crown trainer. He has had 14 now Triple Crown victories. So he became the winningest Triple Crown trainer that in existence. He was tied for a long time with Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and that dates back to the year 2000. So he's been tied for a very long time. So now he gets to take that and add that to his list of accomplishments.
Wow! And then you've got Gary Stevens, who at 50 was the oldest Preakness winner. Well, the last one was 45 years old. To win in 1972. So Gary Stevens actually really topped the record there with 5 years older than the oldest jockey. So I'm just so curious to know kind of if D-Wayne Lucas, because if D-Wayne Lucas had won the Derby, I know he would have been the oldest one. So you got to wonder.
And I love the name of the horse that the previous jockey won. A previous jockey age-wise was Eldon Nelson. He was 45 when he rode BBB to an upset in 1972, and that's B-E-E-B-E-E-B-E-E. So how you hear Larry Comas calling that one down the stretch.
It's B-B-B!
And it's my lucky day. Oh, my, it's my lucky day. So I actually picked two out of the three, just not in the right order.
No, you took Orb as first, and then It's My Lucky Day.
And then My Loot, yeah. And, you know, I was glad that to see my girlfriend ended up in the money anyway. She was disappointed she didn't get third in the Kentucky Derby, so I was glad to see she was at least in the money. She made a paycheck.
Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. She just needed some money so bad. You know, she only won
she hasn't done very well this year.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know, I'm the only one who picked Oxbow. I did pick him for third. But in my second pick, Departing, wasn't anywhere. I mean, anywhere. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, we are wrong most of the time. And don't ever bet our picks. I mean, ever bet our picks. Like, I can't bet my picks. You can't bet my picks. Don't bet my picks. When I go to the track, it is donation only.
Now, is Oxbow going to be heading off to Belmont? Have they announced that yet?
They have announced it. Well, they haven't confirmed it, but yes, he is actually slated to go ahead and go to the Belmont. I've only read that because there's an article saying that D-Wayne Lucas and Oxbow are going to go to the Belmont Stakes, and they are probably going to run against Orb. So I think they pretty much confirmed
Oxbow's
going. So it's
been announced that Orb is going? Orb's going for sure?
Well, no, that's the thing is, Shug McGahee says, I want to see him bounce back, see his soundness level, see his energy level. He says, I think there's a lot of good wins down the road. So he still hasn't decided whether they're going or not, but I guess they're saying Oxbow is a shoo-in, definitely.
Okay. All right, well. We'll see what happens. You know, I always feel bad when if you're an administrator at the Belmont or up there, you know, in New York, and you're sitting there and you're going, okay, Belmont Park, we've got to have a Triple Crown. We have to be vying for a Triple Crown or our race just sucks, because nobody watches. Nobody cares. If they lose in the Preakness, the Belmont is just like an afterthought. You know, the poor people at the Belmont had to be third. Either they get the, everybody in the world watching or nobody cares. It's one of the
Exactly right. It's got to be so. And then to be 3 weeks out and to not know.
Right.
Like, how much food should we order? I don't know.
Right.
How much beer should we order? I don't know. It's like they only know 3 weeks before how to prepare for either, like, a billion people or maybe 10,000.
Well, you know, the Preakness, they weren't too unhappy over at Pimlico. They had 117,000 people show up. They took in a total purse handle for all 13 races that day of $81 million. So it was their sixth largest signature day at Pimlico. So I don't think they were too unhappy with how the day went. But they did eliminate. Not only did they eliminate Kegasus, they eliminated the toilet run, the porta potty run that we heard about.
Well, didn't we hear that 30 people went to the hospital last year?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't understand, but I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why, Glenn, and I'm going to give you the honest truth is why 117,000 people went to Pimlico, and clearly it was the headliners Pitbull and Macklemore and Ryan Lewis that really, really sold the crowd. Did you see any of Pitbull? Because remember I made you a couple weeks ago read some of the lyrics of Pitbull?
Yes, I remember that you made me read the lyrics. No. All I saw was the shots they showed on NBC, and you notice they didn't get too close on their coverage of what happened in the infield. They gave you these very broad shots, and you could see people, you know, dancing around and stuff, but I think that was kind of on purpose because they didn't know what was going on in there, so they didn't show much of it.
Well, there's a blonde commentator, I don't know if commentator is the word, blonde reporter who went in and, like, showed.
Did all the fluff stuff.
Yeah, she was so funny. I thought she was fantastic.
I liked her, too.
Yeah.
She was there at in Kentucky, too. But I did like, I forget her name, but I did like her. I don't know where she's from.
Yeah, she was hilarious. And she was in there drinking the Black Eyed Susans.
Yeah.
And she's like, if we have to take 9 takes, I'll be okay. And she was so funny. But she also showed a little bit of the pit bull that was up there rapping and all that. So apparently people like him.
Apparently they do. There were a lot of people there. And if you notice, by the time the race started, when they showed those overhead shots from the blimp, half of them had cleared out. They weren't there for the race at all. They probably never even knew there were horses there. But they had cleared out. The infield was like half empty at the time of the race.
Wow.
I came for the party. I'm going home now. Well, before we let's get off of that for a moment. But before we get on to our first guest, we have to do a little bit of a movie review here because we all saw the same movie this weekend. We all saw Star Trek. Jennifer and I went, and you and Chad went yesterday to see Star Trek. So do you want us to go first? And we'll see if we totally disagree like we usually do over movies.
Go for it.
Yeah, we gave it a full, let's just start here. I thought it was the best Star Trek movie to date, and we were Star Trek fans back to the original show. We've seen all the movies. Now, I didn't watch all of the shows that were on Sci-Fi through the years, but we definitely have seen all the movies, and we definitely watched all of the original show because we're that old. But I thought this was the best one. I thought the acting was probably – and we won't give any spoilers here, so you don't have to turn off the radio – I thought the acting was better than probably any of the other movies. I really liked this cast. They did a great job. I thought the cast did a wonderful job, actually. And the movie was action from beginning to end. Didn't stop from the second it opened till it ended. I just thought it was a great movie. We give it a full bail. Now, Jennifer, you totally agree with that, right? You're the movie fanatic here.
It's a three-string full bail. Yep.
Yep, okay. That's what I thought. So now let's get the opposite review from Jamie.
I didn't say it was going to be opposite. You know, it was
opposite. We never liked the same TV shows or movies.
But see, I loved Star Trek The Next Generation, and I've seen every Star Trek movie. And if you notice in that movie, not going to spoil it for anybody, but there are some mirror image things that happened to actual James T. Kirk that we know and the Spock that we know.
Yes.
There was some really cool
mirror
image.
There's a lot of references.
Yes, a lot of references. The problem with going back and doing the prequels, sort of pseudo prequels, is that there's not a lot of surprises as far as cast and characters and bad guys. And so to me, it seems like a lot of it was, well, like the bad guy who appeared, I called it first off the bat, right? Right at the beginning. And then
you knew who that was?
And there was tons of, like, moments I turned to chat. I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. You know, I was that annoying person at the movie. I was like, oh, I got it.
Jeez, the one you want to smack in the back of the head.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But so aside from being predictable, it's incredibly entertaining. The one, like, really irritating, frustrating thing, and Jennifer, I don't know if this bothered you, oh, my God, I wish they would please pluck Captain Kirk's eyebrows. Seriously. They're like two giant furry caterpillars, and they're so distracting to me. They're just so big, and they just talk to me, like, with their little fingers. And I don't know. It's just too much, especially when you're standing next to Spock, whose eyebrows are plucked and groomed immensely, because that's his character. Sorry. So that was the most annoying thing. I kept turning to chat. I'm like, God, I wish I would trim his eyebrows. Or at least stop showing, like, the view of his eyebrows.
Do you know who I thought stole the show? I mean, character-wise, as a representation of what the characters became into the original going
Scotty.
Back. Yes. Anytime Scotty was on the screen, he steals the show. Unbelievably, he's got it down. The mannerisms, everything. It was great. He was good.
And the fact that the doctor, what's his name?
Bones.
With those, oh, God, awful, you know, metaphors. I was like, oh, and then James T. Kirk told him to shut up at the exact same time I did. I was like, oh, my God, I can't take it anymore. So the fact that they're a little bit more realistic, too, you know, like real, like they talk to each other a little more real than the big picture idea. Like, you'll get the big picture and then you get, like, the inside comments. And so I thought it was really good. I thought it was very action-packed. I thought it was very predictable. And I really thought they should trim his eyebrows. So there you go. That's my take.
And out of a 6, Lake Bale, you give it?
I'll give it 4. 4.5. 4.5 flakes.
Okay. And Jennifer, what did you say?
The action and all that. J.J. Abrams, by the way, who produced it and directed it, also produced and directed Lost. So that got him an extra half a plate right there.
And is producing and directing everything on TV and in the movies right now, by the way.
Yes.
So
he's the golden child of Hollywood right now. Now, without any spoilers, my favorite scene, I think, in the whole flick was early on. It was probably in the first 25 minutes. And the scene has Uhura Kirk in the the elevator, and Spock walks in on the conversation. You know which one?
Yep. We won't say any more than that. We won't give it away. But that was a very good scene. It was very funny.
And the references to the original series were just awesome.
Yes, one in particular. One in particular, and you know which one I'm talking about, Jamie. There's one reference. Yeah.
Very good
movie.
And there were some that got past you, Glenn. There were some that you didn't watch the original series very much. Yeah, there were some that got past you.
Well, I did, but it was 40 years ago. So that's a long time ago. Well, very good. Well, we sort of agree on the movie. This has to be the first in 2 years.
Well, don't let it go to your head. Seriously. I mean,
You know what? She's going to have this baby. Her hormones are going to change. And guess what? She's going to be watching every rerun of Big Bang Theory that ever that exists. Back to day
one. That, my friend, will never happen. Again, it's on for like 3 hours straight, and I sit inside a lot more than I used to, and I keep trying. That one guy is so annoying, and the laugh track is so fake and constant. I can't stand it. I just can't take it. I'm sorry. I've tried. Everybody in the world likes that show, except for Chad and I, apparently.
Chad doesn't like it either?
Oh, God, he hates it. He won't even put up with it as long as I will. I'm like, let's try. Come on. Everybody
What's
loves it.
What's wrong with
He's
that
like,
guy?
Oh,
I like Chad till now. What's wrong with him?
That show's terrible. I'm sorry. It is just terrible. The Sheldon, one tall, skinny guy who's he's just so annoying. There's no way anybody would be friends with that guy in real life.
Jennifer keeps calling me Sheldon just to upset me every once in a while. That's my...
See, and it's a total... I mean, that's all. I mean, such a mean comment from your wife. And he's supposed to have all these friends, please.
All right, well, let's take a break for our first commercial here. Our title sponsor for today is Omega Alpha Equine. We'll be right back, hopefully, with our first guest.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship. Whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Pace, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, thank you to Omega Alpha Equine for their continuing support of Horses in the Morning. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek, and yes, Jamie is still here, and I am still here because we didn't win the lottery. It was one of our neighbors, apparently, and we're going to get to know them really well as soon as we find out who they are. Jamie, are you here? Jamie isn't back yet. All right, so Jennifer is taking a call right now. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, there was another race that happened to Pimlico on Friday that I thought should get a mention, and that was the Lady Legends for the Cure race. This is the fourth one that they have done, and it was all female jockeys riding for breast cancer, and they actually had the gates all in pink as well, and it was won this year by a jockey by the name of Mary Russ Tortora, and she is 59 years old. Her sister died of breast cancer, and that's why she decided that she wanted to ride in that race. So she rode in the race, and actually her sister died when she was in her 30s of breast cancer, but she rode in the race, and she won the race, and she was very excited about winning this particular race. And there was a bunch of money contributed to charity, and Pimlico helped match that. And actually, this particular rider, Mary Russ Tortora, rode from 1980 to 1994, won 520 races, and in 1982, she became the first female rider to ever win a Grade 1 race. So she set a little bit of history herself and came back and won a race at Pimlico. And it was actually a pretty good race. So I don't know if you got to see that one, Jamie, but... she did very well. So
I can't say that I remember that one, but I, again, was kind of paying attention off and on, but I wish I would have seen that one. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, how hard would it be to come back at 59 if you haven't ridden since, you know, she retired in 94. So 20 years ago she retired.
I'm sure
and then
that
to come
she
back
was,
and ride again.
She was on the Equisizer
yeah.
as much
sure.
as she could. Hey, did you see that,
sure
by the way? The Equisizer is actually in the jockey's room, and they were showing photos of Gary Stevens on Frankie Lovato's Equisizer before the race. That's how they get warmed up.
Oh, cool. Well, good for Frankie.
He must have
some pride seeing that, you know, watching that on TV and seeing that happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw it on Facebook. I don't think it made TV, but... either way, it's still really cool. Another race story for you is, gosh, this is really cool, and I really want this, and they're already sold out, is that Black Caviar, the, you know, Uber mare from Australia. has now been made into a collectible coin, a $1 coin made out of silver and a $1 collectible bronze coin was launched at the 2013 World Stamp Expo in Melbourne on May 11th. And just these are so cool to be immortalized in the Royal Australian Mint. But they said that the story of black caviar will be told for years to come as a tale of inspiration and determination. And they wanted to create a collection that showcased the incredible feat and helped to tell that story. They are already saying that this mare is the second coming of Farlap. You know, just her story now that she's retired and it's all done. It is like going to the paparazzi wants to know who this horse is going to be bred to. Like, that is how popular this mare is, even after retirement. They have they put all her trophies on display at this World Stamp Expo. They unveiled the coins. She's also on a stamp. I mean, it's just as cool as it gets.
And they're sold out already, so what do you think they're going to be on eBay for very shortly?
I don't
More
know,
than
but
a
I'm
dollar.
Going to look right now. I'm going to go look right now.
More than a dollar, I guarantee you. And they put her on a stamp, too. I love the stamp. The stamp is great. I'm seeing a picture of it here.
Yeah, they're beautiful. So if you get word that there's a black caviar coin somewhere out there, let me know. Send me an email at jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I'm in.
Very good. Well, let's take our first guest here today. We have Kristen from the United States Hunter Jumper Association. About something that those of us that have been to the horse park a lot probably have never gone to and should. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you know, most of our listeners and Jamie and I have been to the horse park a bunch of times. But I, to be honest, and I don't know if this is just because I don't know why, I didn't know there was a museum at the United States Hunter Jumper Association.
Well, as you know, the USHJA building, United States Hunter Jumper Association building, is rather new. The building opened in 2010, as well as the museum. And for the past few years, we've kind of been gaining speed slowly. But then with the past couple exhibits, we kind of exploded. Last year, we featured ponies through the ages. And now we're doing an exhibit on thoroughbreds. So we started out, we had Kismet, and the Show Jumping Hall of Fame just happened to be looking for a home at the same time we were opening. And so for the first 2 years, through an agreement with them, we featured their exhibit that had been at Busch Gardens. And now we are featuring pieces from our membership and people from our sports past. And we also are working, we have a working agreement with the Show Hunter Hall of Fame as well.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, tell us about the current exhibit. That's fascinating. We talk a lot about OTTBs here and their next lives. Thoroughbreds were really the horse, and you know, when we go back a couple of generations, that's all they used pretty much way back when.
Exactly. The current exhibit is titled Elegance, Power, and Heart, the Thoroughbred Show Horse. And it features numerous pieces of memorabilia and hundreds of photos and paintings of thoroughbreds who have competed, the famous ones, the ones we're competing now, the old hunters from the National Show Horse Show, and the Olympians that have competed through time. And so it's filled with pieces of memorabilia of thoroughbreds that some of them off the track, some of them never were on the track, but pieces from thoroughbreds throughout history.
Now, do you have any idea how many thoroughbreds as a percentage are still being used in the jumper world? I know it's less, but is there still a good percentage? Or?
I don't know the percentage. Now, they are they're more prevalent in the jumpers than they would be in the hunters.
Right.
But they are making a big comeback right now. There's several horse shows that are starting to redo the thoroughbred classes. And in jumpers, you do see them. You see a lot of crosses to get speed along with the other traits. But I wouldn't know a percentage per se.
So it is like an eventing, Jamie, where we're seeing a little bit of a comeback for the thoroughbreds, which is terrific. I mean, it gives them more to do, and it allows more horses to be adopted out for useful activities after racing.
There is a large resurgence in the hunter-jumper world where you see them coming in and you see, like I said, there are special classes and shows, especially for off-the-track thoroughbreds.
Go ahead, Jamie, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, is that something that is now starting to take off? Because I know that when I'm entering a horse trial, maybe because I have the show and I pay attention, that I'm always looking for the ones that do have the off-the-track thoroughbred classes, the thoroughbred, I'm trying to remember the names of them, but do you see that a lot of people are entering those?
I don't know the amount on that, having dealing more with the museum, but I do know, as like for instance in Virginia, there are actually a whole show series specifically for off-track thoroughbreds that they just launched this year, and you'll see classes and I'm mainly more associated with the East Coast, but you see classes in Kentucky, Virginia, along there that are featuring those horses.
Yeah, it seems to be more popular in the East Coast right now as well. So hopefully it'll catch on a little more to the West Coast. But no, I do think it's cool. Sorry, I know we're way off topic as far as the museum goes. Go ahead.
Well, what's your favorite display or rider or horse or in this particular exhibit or in the whole museum?
Well, in this particular exhibit, I mean, there's so many great ones. They're, gorgeous trophies, wonderful photos. But my favorite display right now features Jet Run, the famous, he rode both hunters and jumpers, and he was ridden by, Michael Matz, Melanie Smith-Taylor, Bernie Traurig. And one thing I love about this exhibit is he affected so many, we have pieces from his, from his multiple owners and from his groom, Karen Golding. He affected the lives of a lot of different people who rode and dealt with him over the years. And he just had such a great career and really was exemplary of what thoroughbreds can do in the sport if they're given a chance.
Now, he was back, late 60s, early 70s?
He competed up till 1982. Him and Michael Matz competed late 70s, but he started in the early 70s at Winter Place Farm.
Okay, all right. I know he was in the Hall of Fame. I knew that.
He is in the Show Jumping Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, where is the museum? How do and is there any cost to get in? What are the hours? How can people find it when they visit the Kentucky Horse Park?
Okay. Well, it is in the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky, and it's free with horse park admission, or it's free to the general public. You don't get to go into the rest of the horse park, but if you just come into the USHJA building, you're always welcome to walk through the museum. So it's free with admission, or, if you just want to come see this exhibit alone, you can come through there. Basically, we are right in the horse park grounds, and you will see, if you're in the actual horse park, we actually now are starting to display banners advertising our exhibit. So we're a lot easier to find now as you walk back to the trail rides and the pony rides. We're centrally located right there next to the restaurant, and we're open. Our general hours are Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and this exhibit is open now through December 15th. We are open some weekends to correspond with special events, the Hunter and Jumper Pony Finals hosted by USEF, and a few other events like that. But if you can't make it to the horse park, we do have a video tour available, and I can give you the URL for that.
Sure.
It's www.ushja.org/WheelerMuseum.aspx, and that will take you to a video tour of the entire exhibit.
Very good. And we'll post that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning also, and also put it in our show notes for today's show at horsesinthemorning.com. Well, Kristen, thank you so much. Now I have something else to do when I go to the Kentucky Horse Park next time that I didn't even know I should do.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. You know, have you ever been to the Standard Bred Museum there at the Horse Park?
You know, I can't say that I've really been to many museums at the Horse Park. The only one I can think of I've been to is the Kentucky Derby Museum in Louisville.
So you never went to the museum at the Horse Park either, the Museum of the Horse, is I think what they call it. Oh, sorry, Saddlebred, not Standardbred. There's a Saddlebred Museum there too.
No, I definitely haven't been to the Saddlebred Museum.
Yeah, we've been to the regular horse one. Actually, we did a couple stories there, but it's circular and it goes up and there's carriages and horses and through history and time and all that. It's pretty good, actually. That one's pretty good. That one you definitely should see when you go in next time you visit the park. But you're always there for Rolex, so you never get over that side of the park anyway.
That's the thing is when you go to Rolex, you know, you need to actually plan a day to go visit just the Kentucky Horse Park, because you can go to the Breeds Barn, you can go to the Drafts Barn, to go to all the museums and all the different things. But yeah, for the most part, I just go in and I drive to the back and go to Rolex. So
right.
Whatever.
What everybody does.
Looks their boat. Hey, Jennifer, can you post that picture that I just sent you?
Pictures!
I emailed you a photo. Can you post it?
I can post that.
Okay. I did something, Glenn. I did something to my husband.
You're a mean woman.
I know. You know, I think it's this maternal instinct that I have right now. But I found, Glenn, that being pregnant, I have an incredibly short temper. And
of
the problems...
Really? I'm glad I haven't seen much of that in the mornings here at Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, it's too early for me right now. You should hear me cussing when my alarm goes off. But I found myself having a very short temper. And part of the problem is when I go out to feed in the morning and in the evenings, you know, these horses and the animals, you know, we have lots of animals. We have guinea pigs and we have chickens and we have horses in the back. And all of these animals, they see me coming and they get very excited. I mean, who doesn't love it when your horse nickers at you when they see you? And, you know, all of my horses are like, hey, and they do the cute little nicker, and you're like, oh, it melts your heart. Well, when chickens nicker at you, it's different. It's not as cute. And now, I have some chickens, Glenn. I mean, I had 9 chickens, okay? And some of my chickens are so nice, and they're like, beep, 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 you know, and they just kind of like make little clucky, clucky noises. Well, I have had one or two chickens that are so obnoxiously loud that when I walk outside, it sounds like I am being attacked by a pterodactyl. I mean, that's all they do. Two of them walk around and just scream, but there was one that was really, really, really bad. Like screamed all the time. So I contacted a student of mine who really liked it for some reason, that particular chicken, and I said, this chicken is yours, come and get it. She lives down the street.
I thought you were going to say you had chicken soup, but I guess.
Oh, no, come on. Still a vegetarian, still not going to kill a pet, but short tempered nonetheless. So
I bet you Chad wanted to kill that chicken.
You know, he doesn't go out there like I do, he doesn't look like a giant piece of treat to the chickens like I do. So I look like,
he doesn't look like a great, well, I won't say it. Go ahead.
Piece of corn or bread or whatever they want at the time.
I was going to use pecker wrecker, Uncle Jimmy's pecker wrecker. But
yes, he does not look like a pecker wrecker. I do, apparently.
That's why I avoided that one. Sorry.
So I got frustrated with the one, and I gave it to my student who lives like 4 houses down. It's out of earshot. So then I went out the next day, and I can't tolerate it because number 2 was driving me crazy. Number 2 stepped into number 1 spot on the volume level and started to sound like a pterodactyl. So I picked up number 2 and I drove to my neighbor's house and threw number two over the fence into her backyard. I'm like, I'm done with you. I hate you. I hate you. Well, Chad starts saying, he's like, stop giving away our chickens. He's like, they lay eggs. Stop. And these were two chickens that I had raised from babies. You know I'm pissed when I give away things I've raised from baby chicks. Now, they're seriously happy down at their new place. But we had a little egg shortage. We kind of currently have a little egg shortage. And I said, honey, it's okay. I'll go to the store where I got happy, and I'll just buy a couple more chickens. And he's like, no, don't go buy adult chickens. He's like, if we're going to get chickens, we should raise them from babies. And I was like, well, that won't be till like next January or February. Well, I went to the feed store, and lo and behold, Mama found some baby chicks. So you can view one of said chicks on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now.
They're always so, they are so cute when they're little.
They are. Now, here's where they get me every time. Is I walk into the store, and there's two containers of chicks. And I'm like, oh, what kind are these chicks? Oh, my God, they're so cute. And you just hold them, and they're just adorable. And the guy's like, well, over here on the right, those are all the laying hens. And over there on the left, those are all the meat chickens.
There you go.
I'm like, what do you mean, meat chickens? He's like, those are the ones people eat. I'm like, over my dead body, this baby chick's going to get eaten. So the one that is in the photo is actually a meat chicken. May never lay an egg.
Oh, great.
In the little kit, there's like the whole container. There's like 150 of them. I couldn't take them all. But there was one like kind of standing off by himself, and he was just all kind of quiet and over there in the corner, and he was away from all the other meat chickens. So I'm like, you're coming home with me. You have won the lottery, my friend. Boom, and I grab it. So,
have you told
chicken.
Chad that this is not an egg chicken?
Now, you know that my husband is going to ask questions because it seriously looks way different than the rest of them. So I did have to tell him. I said I couldn't stand it. And now he's to the point where he just laughs at me. He's like, okay, whatever. You're ridiculous.
And you know what's going to happen in another year or two? This one's going to be the loudest chicken in the barn, and you're going to be throwing it over the neighbor's fence. You know that, right?
You know what's even funnier about that is the fact that I got rid of two loud chickens, and this one actually potentially may be a rooster. Because the laying hens... They sex the laying hens really good. They're like, okay, these are 99% guaranteed to be females. And all the meat chickens, they just throw in together. So I might have picked a rooster. But I couldn't let him die. I couldn't let him die.
That's funny. All right, let's take a little break right now for our song of the day. And that's going to be, today, you know, I did this one. This is going to sound mean, but you know darn well, everybody out there, that this is true. I picked a Templeton Thompson song called I Remember You. And the reason I picked this Templeton Thompson song called I Remember You is because in 2 years, we're going to hear the name of Orb, and we're going to go, didn't he win one of the Kentucky Derbies at one point? Exactly what's going to happen. You mark my words. So this is dedicated to Orb. Right after this word.
Oh, that's awful.
I know, but it's true. And it's a song called I Remember You from Templeton Thompson.
Little girl, big dreams, nothing to lose. like I'm still there. Stars in my eyes, riding horses. Oh, those are my clients. Before anyone said that it couldn't be done. Sometimes I miss what it meant to be.
Reports about this new CeraWool product line that you introduced earlier this year. Tell us what's going on there.
Basically opened a whole new customer base for us, and it's made the product affordable for people maybe who either didn't want to use sheepskin because it does require a little bit more maintenance, the sheepskin does, than the wool, or people that just couldn't make that stretch. So it's been great. It's really, really durable, as the tagline says. It's great for daily use, beautiful enough for show.
And I think that really explains it all in a nutshell, because it is a lovely pad to look at and feel, and
yeah.
But yet it's still an affordable pad that you can go to, you can literally go to the Olympics in this saddle pad.
Yes. We worked really hard to make sure that we developed the right density and the right length, and so it took us about a year to get everything exactly right. And to make sure that when you washed it, that it didn't felt up or turn real hard or ball up. And it's a proprietary blend of product, the way we've done this, to make it work.
Quality saddle pads from Fleeceworks. So, folks, when you go to your local tack store, ask for Fleeceworks TheraWool pads by name. And if your local tack store doesn't have them, tell them that they need to speak with Judy at Fleeceworks. Just go to fleeceworks.com, and you'll find all of our contact information there. And thanks for stopping by again, Judy, and keeping us up to date on what's going on over there.
And thanks to Fleeceworks for being a part of today's show. You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And it is that time of the week. We get caught up with Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com. Good morning, girlfriend. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Did you see the picture that I just posted on your Facebook page of my
check.
Chicken? It's on the horse.
You have a chicken?
Oh, no. I've got to check this out.
Check it out.
That is not chicken. Your chicken.
It was. She unfortunately is no longer for this world. But, I went to the fair last summer. And I didn't, I went to see the, look at all the animals, and they have all the, especially the rabbits. Like, they just have hundreds of rabbits. And I made it through the bunny tent without purchasing a bunny, which was everyone thought was extraordinary and unlikely. And then I went into
Because you're a bunny person. You own
bunnies.
I'm
a bunny person.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But then I went into the chicken tent, and I didn't even know that I wanted a chicken. And then I saw this chicken, and I was like, I need that. it looks like...
Go ahead and describe this one. I'd like to see you describe this one.
Okay. It is a breed called a Bantam Silky. They're considered an ornamental chicken. They lay some eggs, but they're not primarily, an egg. You know, people don't have them for their eggs primarily. They primarily have them because they're gorgeous. They look like giant cotton balls. They're super fluffy and white. They kind of look like, I don't know, I thought she looked like a Muppet chicken. So that's why I named
it. It does, actually.
Imagine a normal chicken, a normal white chicken that has walked into your house and has stuck its feather in your electric socket.
That
is what you have here. It's like the only thing you can see on this entire chicken is the beak. And I love this picture because if you look at all the rest of the chicken, it's like in a cage, and all the rest of the chickens are like, we don't know that chicken. They're all turned away. They want nothing to do with your chicken. Now, sadly, it says here that you got Camilla at the fair last year, but she met a tragic end. What happened to Camilla?
Well, unfortunately, Camilla was very, very beautiful, but intelligence was not a
You don't breathe that into him?
No. She was stupid. Like, I don't think she could see a thing. I mean, look, you can't even see her eyes. I don't know if she could ever see anything. She did not have, she had no common sense. Like, I always felt like if I put her out in the real world, she would have just wandered straight up to a fox or something and been immediately eaten. Because she just wasn't a smart girl.
So what'd she do? She wandered right into the pot of boiling water?
Pretty much. She got stuck. She was
in the pot of boiling water?
She was in this horse stall, you know, with these other chicks. We tried to assimilate her with, you know, like, incorporate her into like a couple of different flocks of chicken, and they just nobody ever took her in. They're just like, freak, you know.
As is evidenced by the photograph where every other chicken is like, get me away from whatever that is. So she wandered into what?
So
she
wandered.
Stuck in
what? So she just got stuck between the cage and there's like the sort of the cage was inside the stall, so they could kind of go in and out the cage whenever they wanted to. And she got stuck between the cage and the wall.
Shut up.
It is.
That killed her?
I think she must have just had a heart attack and died.
Oh!
It was very sad.
There's a reason you don't see a lot of these chickens around.
Yeah.
They're not running around.
Natural selection.
All beauty, no brains. Yeah.
Wow. Sad end for Camilla, but I'm glad that she had a good home while it lasted.
Oh, she did. She was well-loved. She was well-loved, and she was just so fabulous.
And this little meat chicken that I got that we put the picture of is also a bantam, which means they're small. So basically, I bought a Cornish game hen.
That's right. That's exactly what she bought.
We'll see how that goes.
Oh, it's so cute. It's so cute.
Yeah,
just heard from Glenn Forrester, who wrote and said, Jamie is going to end up with a flock of roosters at this rate.
Don't worry, I'll throw them all into my neighbor's backyard.
That's funny.
Well, what stories do you have? Oh, my gosh, I've got to comment on the fact that, I got to Google it right now. How many current views do you have on your most viewed article in Horse Nation history?
I think, you know, it's at 48,033 views.
Oh!
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So we decided, I wanted to do a new column, and because, you know, we all are familiar with one of my favorite Practical Horseman features is Jumping Clinic with George Morris, you know. And every month he readers send in their photos and he basically just rips them up, you know, and I'm just like, wow, you know, it's amazing that he's still doing that. Is he still doing that column for Practical Horseman? I'm not sure. For years and years and years and years. And I don't even know why people sent their photos in because he was just going to, like,
shred them.
Shred them, yeah.
So basically, and for those who don't know, it's a George Morris photo clinic, basically, where he looks at a photo of you and your horse jumping a fence and picks it apart. Now, in typical George Morris fashion, it's not fluffy and positive at all. I mean, at all. It's like, you are horrible looking, your horse looks terrible, you should put your heel down. I mean, there's really, usually it's incredibly true, but So I don't understand why people would send in these photos, but they do repeatedly for years and years. And Leslie took it. Leslie decided to have George Morris come over to Horse Nation and look at some photos.
But the difference being intentionally just really bad photos. So we've got, you know, people that are sort of in the process, just either having super awkward jumps or in the process of falling off. So we're calling it Bad Jumping Clinic with George Morris. And we're gonna
I love the picture of George, and she has a picture of George Morris, and it says, George Morris, I'm getting too old for this crap. And he's pictured with his sourpuss face that he makes all the time.
That's one of his book covers. I mean, I retitled it, but yeah. Why?
I would like to answer your question, by the way, Leslie. Yes, you can go to equisearch.com and submit your photo to Practical Horseman's Jumping Clinic with George Morris. Still accepting photographs.
Well, plucked this week's or last week's George Morris clinic photos out of, you know, just off the interweb. But since then, because we invited readers to actually send in their bad jumping photos, and I've gotten, I mean, at least 50 bad, I mean, just hilariously terrible jumping photos from readers who wish to have their terrible photos critiqued. So this will become a weekly column. Yep.
That's funny. You did a great job with the writing here. It was really good.
Yeah, give anybody who's not in front of their computer right now, give them a taste of it, Leslie. Like, describe the photo and tell them what George Morris said.
Let's see. So, for this first one, or no, the second one.
Do the second one,
Yeah, the second one, the rider is actually, I mean, the horse is slams on the brakes in front of a jump, and the rider is basically like hanging on to the horse's neck for dear life in the process of falling off up by its ears. She looks, the horse is on one side of the fence, the rider is on the other one, on the other side. So
that's bad.
So George, quote unquote, wrote, "The number one equitation flaw I see in the show ring today is young people laying on their horses' necks. Not only is it unattractive, it also makes the horse's job more difficult, as this photo illustrates. This rider needs to let go of her horse's ears and put weight in the heels for a more stable base of support. Ordinarily, I'd recommend working without stirrups, but this rider appears to already have that skill down."
I love it. And the fact that you can't really see the rider because she's on the other side of the horse, I'm just going to pretend that this rider is wearing a conservatively colored polo shirt. The horse's saddle pad is clean, white, and properly fitted. Clearly, I am pretending a lot of things about this photo. Fantastic. The last photo cracked me up. So go look at this. We'll post a link to it, the Bad Jumping Clinic with George Morris. It went viral, Leslie. Great job. And, of course, the George Morris is being played today by Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com. It is definitely not George Morris, but these are the things that he thinks in his head that you just pulled out. I can't believe 50 people submitted bad photos to you. This is hilarious.
Yeah, so either today or tomorrow we'll have the next installation of bad jumping clips.
I got to say, on the geek side of things, every blogger looks for the breakout hit. You just had your breakout hit.
Yeah. You did.
Congratulations. Yeah, you did it.
You did it.
Hilarious. Now, another really popular one for you this past week was First World Horse Problems. Life is so hard. And this is a collection of, you know, what do they call it when you got a photograph and there's somebody has put a caption in it? Is there a name for those?
Memes?
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're called.
MEMES. Gotcha. Now, it's like a photograph of the horse's eye and looking down. Owner's always telling me how beautiful I am. I think I'm fat. These are first world horse problems. The next photo is of a horse.
I love the next
straight
one.
On. Yeah. Pooped in my water bucket. Now what am I supposed to drink?
We've always said, and everybody's had that horse that's pooped in the water bucket. We had one that did it every day. There's nothing more disgusting, by the way.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And why? Why? I mean, then they just don't have anything to drink. I don't understand what the thrill is of pooping in a water bucket.
I love it, like the picture of the horse's eye, and they're like, everyone calls me Lightning. My name is Philip.
Well, you know, I'm always, you know, giving my own horses a hard time. Because, you know, really, I mean, our horses that are owned by, you know, people who care about them, who go out of their way, you know, to, like, really accommodate their every whim.
They live better than you.
And you know, they live better. My horse lives better than I do. You know, he has the acupuncturist and the chiropractor. I'm like, I want a chiropractor. I want a massage therapist. But no. You know, and basically, you know, we all have these overprivileged horses,
I gotta tell you, I really love the one in here, and I love the reference to a colic joke. It's a picture of a horse's eyes again, and it says, needed to poop, owner wouldn't let me stop walking. I love the colic reference there. That's a good one.
Pretty funny, I think.
really funny. And the judge called me handsome. I'm a mare. I mean, just first world horse problems. I love it. First world, and I always try to think of like first world people problems. You know, like how ridiculous we think we are. Like, oh, how sad you stubbed your toe. You know, and like somebody can't eat in another country.
Right.
And this is the horse version of that. I love it. Yes. So great job there. And then you had to do the follow up on Nacho Figueroa's and Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what happened. I actually saw this on your website, so good job.
Good. Yeah, you guys inspired this post last week when Jamie told me about the charity polo match that pitted two super hotties, Prince Harry and Nacho. How do you say it? Figueroa.
Yeah, exactly.
against one another. You know, and Nacho, so, you know, everyone knows who Prince Harry is. And I think Prince Harry's kind of come into his own in the past few years. You know, he's like sort of an awkward redheaded teenager, but now he's like, you know, he's pretty smoking hot now. And then we've got Nacho, the Ralph Lauren model.
Now, if you think back. When Prince Harry and Prince William were kids, you were like, oh, Prince William is going to be the hottie, and Prince Harry, poor thing, bless his heart. Now, as they've gotten older, oh, my God, Prince Harry is way better looking.
Reversal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't do bad for a wife, though. I'm going to throw that in there.
Well, that is true.
You rich guys get hot chicks, okay? Now kings get really hot chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
She's about due now too,
isn't she? She's going to be due about the same time as you, I thought we had determined.
She was a little behind me in the pregnancy, so she's got at least another month or two. But she's carrying it much more gracefully than I am, I got to admit.
I doubt
that. She has more
expensive
clothes to hide it, is what it is.
I'm sorry, princesses just don't have waddles. They don't waddle, okay? Like, I get up and I'm like, ugh, I just peed a little bit, and I walk out to the house, you know, like, I bet she has not peed her pants one time. She's being pregnant. Hate her. And I bet when she's out in the barn, now, Leslie, I want you to admit to this. When you have to pee and you're at the barn, do you just cop a squat in your horse's stall?
I've been known to do that, yeah.
Okay, thank you for admitting it, because I do it all the time, and I was like, I bet she has never once copped a squat outside. And there's nothing sexier than a pregnant woman dropping trowel and copping a squat in her horse's stall. God forbid there ever be a photo of that.
I saw another article on your thing, and you need to help us out here, Leslie. Could you get Richard Gere on for us, please? Because apparently you found out he's a real horse person. So if you could get him on the show for us, I'd appreciate it next Monday.
I'll talk to my people. Talk to his people.
Okay.
Talk to his people.
Do that.
We can hook you up. Not.
Okay, good. Do that. Yep. So he is actually a horse person. Appaloosas.
Yeah, he is. He's into Appaloosas. It sounds like we had our writer, Amanda Roden, write the movie actor celebrity column on every Friday, and it sounds like he when did he start writing? It's been a while. 90, I mean, you know, at least since the 70s, he's been interested in horses, and then really got into Appaloosas, and who knew?
Huh.
But,
well, it's
funny,
you see celebrities like Tommy Lee Jones, who likes horses, and he likes playing polo, and then you've got kind of more flamboyant actors that like the Arabs, and then you've got a dude like Richard Gere, and you think, Appaloosas? Really?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That's not the most glamorous of breeds to like, in my opinion. I mean, maybe Appaloosa people can prove me wrong, but I'd love to see you try.
Yeah.
I love his one. I love in an interview, this is a quote. You guys are going to love this quote. This is Richard Gere saying this. This big Appy follows me around like a dog. He said that during an interview. First horses are like your first girlfriend. You never forget.
Aww. I wish I was Richard Gere's first girlfriend.
Now, most girls would like to forget their first girlfriend or boyfriend, but that's a different story.
No comment.
I was waiting for you to say something.
I think neither one of us say a word. Hey, there was a really cool story before we let you go, Leslie. I thought this is really neat. In North Carolina, a wild stallion had to be rescued from the beach, and he's now officially blind, because this poor guy, okay, think of like a wild stallion on the beach. You just think something fantastic and beautiful. I mean, in my mind, you think of a wild stallion on the beach, and you see like this beautiful Andalusian white galloping away, you know. This is a horse that's probably about 13-2. He's chestnut with actually a flaxen mane and tail, and he's already blind in one eye from an earlier fight where he got his butt kicked. Well, he was trying to steal some mares, got his butt kicked again, got nailed in the other eye, and has now gone blind. The disoriented, tiny
Tony Stallion, apparently then after suffering the injury, turned and walked directly into the ocean.
Then I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah. This is in the Outer Banks area in North Carolina. So this poor blind Tony Stallion, who just, bless his heart, is not the most well put together thing, clearly getting his butt kicked, can't find a mare to free, wanders out and then gets caught in a riptide and is swept almost 2 miles offshore.
Wow.
Yeah, bless his little heart. I mean, it's a mile and a half, maybe. I don't know what the kilometer change is here, but they had to get rescue crews out there to get behind him and push him along to guide him back to shore. This guy is he's like, that's it. I'm going to kill myself. And
that guy's having a bad day.
Yes, he was. So he is has now been rescued. He is going to permanently remain under care for the rest of his life. He is now recovering in a vet hospital. They have named him Amadeo, and which is just too fancy of a name for this poor little guy.
Right.
I mean, he's just as unfortunate looking as they come, poor little thing. But they say his overall health is good, but he's still day by day regarding his vision. He may never regain any sight whatsoever. But the poor little guy has now been saved and will be okay. And maybe they'll geld him and that'll make things better.
maybe they'll make a movie out of his story. Maybe it'll turn into like an inspirational sort of Lifetime movie.
It's pathetic is what it is.
He was like at the cliff edge of his, you know.
I can take it no longer.
That's what you're saying. He did the same thing your chicken committed suicide. He was just doing the same thing. They were outcasts, obviously.
True. They're outcasts.
Yeah. Except I got to admit, your chicken was cuter than this particular horse.
Yeah. This poor little guy. Holy cow. He's seen better days.
Hey, one more thing before we let you go, Leslie. There's an auction coming up, and I know you would rather move to horse country. And this particular farm is in West Virginia. It's called Quail Creek Farm, and it's coming up for auction on June the 14th. And you're going to want it. I mean, this now that you have had your story go viral, you're going to be making so much money you can afford this.
Uh-huh,
it's a 54-acre estate, 13,000-square-foot home, a stables, something called a riding circle. I think, do they mean a round pen, maybe?
Maybe.
A pool, a guest cottage, and access to the Potomac River. And get this, the house has 10 bedrooms, 11 full baths, 10 working fireplaces, a sauna, 3 kitchens, and an elevator. It's suited for use as a home, corporate retreat, or equestrian center. In all, the estate has approximately 21,000 square feet of heated living space and is only a 90-minute drive from Washington. It has a rare 2-level bank barn that was redone in 1986. It has a pond, a pool, a 6-stall stable, only 6 stalls. And it also is up for auction beginning at only $995,000 opening bid.
What a bargain.
It is. You should be able to afford that now that you're big time. You know she's not
right.
Going to come back anymore. Yeah.
I love the fact that they're selling, it's only 90 minutes to the city. So, like, that people are going to commute.
Well, they do, actually. Down in Washington, D.C., they do. But that 90 minutes really means 3 hours. Is what it really is.
Right.
Means.
Yeah.
That's on your best day.
Exactly.
That's one day a year you're going to get there in 90 minutes if you have a helicopter. But then if you're going to afford this place, you probably do have a helicopter. And you get a riding circle. It's a new name.
Bride circle. Yep.
Whatever that means. Well, Leslie, listen, as soon as you post your next bad jumping clinic with George Morris, please post the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so we can know. For those of you who do want to submit your photo to the real George Morris, you can do that. Jumping Clinic, Practical Horseman, 656 Quince Orchard Road, Suite 600, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20878. Write that down. I'm sure people are going to be dying.
I was just going to say, or you can lay in your stall and let your horse stomp you to death. It's going to be the same result either way.
It's up to you.
Or you can send it to horsenation.com.
And let Leslie pick you apart.
Right.
Great job.
Thanks,
girlfriend.
Leslie.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Who would pay to go to a George Morris clinic and be beat up for 2 hours?
People do it all the time. And there's a lot of people, by the way, on her Facebook page. There's one person in particular that kind of took offense to the fact that they're saying old and grinky. Yeah, I just read the comments. But I would like to point out they now have 48,059 views. That's crazy.
I know. And I think the closest I've ever seen, I don't know that she's ever been over 20,000 on one before. So this one went viral. It went viral on Facebook because it got 9,000 people liked it on Facebook. So, Facebook, boy, if you go viral on Facebook, you're doing well. You're doing well. You
Very
need to start
good.
Writing, Jamie. See? It's all this talking doesn't go viral.
No, I can't write at all. I had to go to tell a story on the show. I can't even write it down.
Well, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you joining us. Of course, we'll be back with the Wheel of Trivia. On Wednesday, and we look forward to having you join us then. So give us a call at 905-347-637-3238. A bunch of good stuff on the Wheel of Trivia this week. And what else? I guess we're going to have some more guests. We'll have all kinds of cool stuff. Victoria from Horse and Country TV, who joins us on Wednesdays. Finished that first event she talked about, so I'm sure she's going to tell us all about that on Wednesday. I can't wait to hear about that. And that's about
it, Jamie. Guess it was, in true Jamie fashion, a little bit dramatic and a little awesome. So I can't wait to hear about that. Now, Chad has predicted that Wednesday be my due date.
Oh, really?
So we'll see. Yeah, he's predicted Wednesday.
Is there evidence of that prediction, or is he just hoping that you become ungrumpy after?
I think he was more looking at, like, you know, timing-wise and work-wise and kind of more what would be more convenient to him as opposed to how my cervix is, Glenn.
He was supposed to – that's right. He wanted to hold off till after Wednesday. Anytime between, like, Wednesday and the next 2 weeks is good, right?
Well, Wednesday would be ideal, I guess. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. So you may do the Wheel of Trivia without me if he's right, if he has anything to do with it.
All right. Well, let's hope so. So you can get on with things, and we can hear all about the baby.
Yes. Sure. Whatever. Get a month off. Sleep in a little bit. Yeah. Right. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us. And spay, neuter, and geld.
Yeah. Sleep in a little bit. That'll happen.
But I'm pour a little out for poor Camilla. Okay. Poor Camilla killed herself.